Post-American World, author Fareed Zakaria. This book is not about the decline of America, but rather about the rise of everyone else. Shifts of power. There have been three power shifts over the last 500 years. The first was the rise of the Western world, a process that produced modernity as we know it. The second shift was the rise of the United States. We are now living through the third great power shift of the modern era. It could be called the rise of the rest. Over the past few decades, countries all over the world have been experiencing rates of economic growth that were once unthinkable. In every dimension, industrial, financial, educational, and cultural, the distribution of power is shifting, moving away from the American dominance. That does not mean that we are entering an anti-American world, but we are moving into a post-American world. What will it mean to live in a post-American world? The cup runneth over. The world's politics seem deeply troubled, with daily reports of bombings, terror plots, and civil strife, yet the global economy forges ahead, not without significant interruptions and crises, still vigorously upwards on the whole. Markets do panic, but over economic, not political news. The three forces: politics, economics, and technology. The ideological shift in economics has been building before the fall of the Berlin Wall. Conventional economic wisdom, embodied in organisations such as International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, had become far more critical of the quasi-socialist paths of countries like India. Post-World War II period was one of the fixed exchange rates. Most Western countries, including France and Italy, had capital controls restricting the movement of currency in and out of their borders. But as global trade grew, fixed rates created frictions and inefficiencies and prevented capital from being put to its best use. Communication. The expansion of communications meant that the world got more deeply connected and became flat. Cheap phone calls and broadband made it possible for people to do jobs for one country in another country, marking the next stage in the ongoing story of capitalism, the rise of nationalism. In a globalised world, almost all problems spill over borders, but while economics, information and even culture might have become globalised, formal political power remains firmly tethered to the nation-state. Increasingly, nation-states are becoming less willing to come together to solve common problems. Death of the old order. Westernisation is not merely about appearances. Executives all over the world manage their companies by means of what we could call standard business practices. The truth of these standards are all Western in origin. Over the last two centuries, government institutions everywhere have also become more alike, encompassing parliaments, regulatory agents, and central banks. Books, movies, television showcase distinctly local tastes, but structure of these industries, as well as many aspects of the content, is becoming more standardised. What is vanishing is developing countries in an old high culture and traditional order. The challenger. Americans may admire beauty, but they are truly dazzled by bigness. That's why China hits American minds so hard. With 1.3 billion people, it has four times America's population. China's awakening is reshaping the economic and political landscape, but it's also being shaped by the world in which it's rising. The strange rise of British power. Britain has been a rich country for centuries, but it was an economic superpower for a little longer than a generation. In fact, by 1897, Britain's best years were already behind it. Britain's true apogee was the generation earlier, from 1845 to 1870. At that time, Britain was producing more than 30% of global GDP. Its energy consumption was five times that of United States and Prussia, and 155 times that of Russia. It accounted for one-fifth of the world's trade and two-fifths of its manufacturing trade. All of this was with just 2% of the world's population. Good politics, bad economics. Britain managed to maintain its position in the leading world power for decades after it's lost its economic dominance, thanks to a combination of shrewd strategic outlook and good diplomacy. Early on, as it saw the balance of power shifting, London made one critical decision that extended its influence by decades. It chose to accommodate itself in the rise of America rather than to contest it. America's long run. However, it is essential to note that the central feature of Britain's decline does not really apply to the United States today. Britain's unrivaled economic status lasted for a few decades, while America's has lasted for more than 130 years. New America, is not Old Britain. This difference between America and Britain can be seen in the burden of their military budgets. Britannia ruled the seas but never the land. The British army was sufficiently small. The American military, in contrast, dominates at every level. Land, sea, air, space, and spends more than the next 14 countries put together, accounting for almost 50% of global defence spending. American military power is not the cause of its strength, but the consequence. The fuel is America's economic and technological base, which remains extremely strong. New rules for a new age. Some Americans believe that we should not learn from history, but just copy it. If we could only find another Truman administration, many liberals and Democrats seem to pine, it would establish a new set of institutions for a new era. But this is nostalgia, not strategy. The new role is quite different from the traditional superpower role. It involves consultation, cooperation, and even compromise. To describe what operating in this new world would look like, six simple guidelines were set out. 1. Choose. American omnipotence has made Washington believe that it's exempt from the need to have priorities. Number 2. Build broad rules, not narrow interests. There is a fundamental tension in US foreign policy. Does the country want to push its own particular interests abroad, or does it want to create a structure of new rules, practices and values by which the world will be bound? Be Bismarck, not Britain. Joseph Joyce has argued that there are two historical analogies that the United States can look to in constructing its grand strategy. Britain and Bismarck. Britain tried to balance against the rising, threatening great powers, but otherwise kept a low profile on the European continent. Bismarck, by contrast, chose to engage with all the great powers. Its goal was to have better relations with all of them than any of them had with each other, to be the pivot of Europe's international system. Order à la carte. Among scholars and practitioners of international relations, there is one predominant theory about how and why international peace endures. It holds that the most stable system is one with a single dominant power that maintains order. 5. Think asymmetrically. The United States has the most powerful military in the history of the world, yet it has found it difficult to prevail in Iraq. Why? Because the current era is one in which asymmetrical responses have become easier to execute and difficult to defeat. 6. Legitimacy is power. These days, the United States has every kind of power in ample supply except one. Legitimacy. Legitimacy allows one to set the agenda, define a crisis and mobilize support for policies among both countries and non-governmental forces like private businesses and grassroots organizations,